You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Man, oh man, what a week, guys. What a week. It has been very interesting these last couple weeks. I hope you all are doing well. Never in a million years would I thought that we'd be doing Easter Sunday with the building empty. I just never would have dreamed that this would be where we're at today, but man, it is. And we're going with it, man. We are going with it. The message of the Lord is not that anything about a building. The good news isn't based in a building. The good news is based within each one of us. So this morning, I just want to encourage you guys to reach out to one another, greet one another, make comments with one another, send up a bunch of likes and hearts, give me some right on Ryan's, anything you can do like that to increase activity and just show that we are a community and a body of Christ that is not dead, but alive, right? And so anyways, thank you so much for being with us this morning. We just are honored to have your time these next 20 minutes together. So I don't know about you all, but man, I've been really struggling with wearing these face masks. And I really need to wear a face mask when I speak or give a message or preach because, man, sometimes I just see, you know, things fly out. We've all become more conscientious about this stuff, which, you know what, maybe is a good thing. I don't know. But I know this, that the mask, the face mask, I just really struggled with these face masks. And in my inbox, what I'm seeing is just, you know, I'm seeing these advertisements for these crazy face mask. And what's interesting, the other day that really caught my attention was the face mask with the visor. There's a visor, and then below the visor, there's a plastic, have you seen that one? A plastic screen. What? Yes, plastic screen, right? And so I guess you can wear it in the summertime, and you've got the sun visor, and then you've got the plastic screen, and I'm thinking, man, how in the world would that work for me? I mean, I'm telling you, my issue is that if I would ever have to sneeze, I would never be able to get my elbow up under that plastic. You know what I mean? And so, man, and when I sneeze, it's like thunder and lightning. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, the 6-foot rule with the social mitigation would be completely out of the range, right? I'm about 50 yards when I sneeze, right? And so I'm thinking about that visor and how that would work, and man, it just would not work for me. I know, maybe if I had some windshield wipers under that screen, that may work. I don't know. But this whole idea of being contagious, this whole idea of these masks and different things, I was in the grocery yesterday. I was at Kroger's yesterday, and I bought 3 tomatoes, and I was looking at the tomatoes, and I was trying not to touch the tomatoes, you know what I mean? Because you don't want to touch everything, and you know, you want to make sure you got your germ gel on, and you know, you're just being very self-conscious about everything. And not only that, it's not just that you're trying to be, you know, socially responsible, but you're also somewhat paranoid because you think everyone may be looking at you if you're touching the fruit, you know what I mean, or the vegetables. And so I go to take off one of the plastic baggies. You guys know the plastic baggies, right? I pull off the plastic baggie and I go to tear off the plastic baggie. And usually what I do with the plastic baggie is I lick my finger and I can open it. Well, I'm thinking, man, you don't lick your finger. Don't lick your finger. There are people in the grocery store that are watching you, and they're going to see you if you lick your finger. And so I'm trying to, it took me literally 2 minutes to try to figure out how to open that baggie without licking my finger. Now, maybe someone can help me with that. I don't know. But my point is that we're also very concerned about this idea of being contagious with everything that we're dealing with right now. And I think that's good. In a lot of ways, that is good. Everyone knows that this idea of being socially responsible is something that we need to look at, and everyone knows it is contagious, and we all need to be conscientious about catching this thing that we know as corona. If someone would have said this is where we would be 6 months ago, I never would have believed it. Never would have believed it. And do not be mistaken, this is exactly, and I believe this, without any doubt, I believe that this is exactly where right now, where the Lord, you know, he's going to make the best of where we are and what's going on today, I promise. But this pandemic, this is a pandemic that has been called a pandemic. And this pandemic is at war with us, and people are very sick, and there are people who are dying, and we need to be in prayer for them, certainly. People are losing their jobs in a moment's notice. We went from the strongest economy, we went from everyone's working, things are going really well, to where we are right now today. And I just believe that God has a plan and a hope for each one of us. I find it interesting that there's an organized effort that we are taking to thwart this disease or mitigate this disease, right? And we're all doing that. And I think that being responsible and doing that and taking these steps and measures are a very positive thing. Now, the reason I share all this and the reason I say all this is that I also believe that this disease, like all other diseases, stems from something much deeper. I want you to think about that. This virus is not the most devastating disease that we have ever seen. It is rooted, as all disease is rooted, it's rooted in something greater. It's rooted in something much more significant. It's rooted in something else that goes back a very long way, a long time ago. And you see this. And I think it's important for you and I to also understand that God never meant any of this to come our way. He never meant for life to be this way. God detests disease. He hates death. He hates what we're walking through right now. He hates this. This was not in his plan, folks. And I've heard some say that God put this on us because we, you know, as some form of punishment or whatever, man, that is malarkey. The truth is this, is that God never intended for any of us to experience sickness, death, or disease. And hear me when I say this. God loves us, and he had a much bigger plan. His idea was health and vitality, where we would be free to multiply and live a life filled with blessing and peace in accordance with him. And then something very disturbing happened. Thousands of years ago, and this is where all disease and all sickness is rooted in, sin entered the world. And with it came death and rot. With it came rage and anger and spite. And with it came control and fighting and rage and abuse and selfishness and ultimately separation from God. You see, when we are separated from God, we are separated from health, from vitality, from thriving and from blessing and from being all that God has for each of us. And truthfully, what we're dealing with today, it can be traced, like all other diseases, back to when this sin entered the world and infected all of us. Folks, this was not God's plan. It was not his plan. It was not God's plan for you and I to be sick. That was out of the cards. That was not what he had in mind. And this ushered in a pandemic from the likes that we have never seen. All illness is rooted and goes back to this. And you speak of a plague, you speak of an epidemic, you speak of worldwide spread. There was no leveling or flattening this curve, folks. It spread across the entire world and throughout the entire human race. And it took root and it infected every man and every woman. And folks, the truth is long before COVID-19 or the coronavirus, long before this virus that we're dealing with today, there was something much more prolific. And the truth is that you've been struggling with that long before the previous 29 days. Not just you, but I have, we all have. We all have struggled with sin and sickness and disease. We all have struggled with things like broken relationships and addiction and greed and abuse and rage and anger and war and division and hate. God help us. In some ways, this COVID-19 is a huge distraction from the real pandemic, from the root of the problem. Some of you are sitting at home right now, and you have been for the last, 29 days? We have 30 days yet? 20 plus days. You've been having to deal with a depth of darkness and significance, insurmountable issues and problems that are symptomatic of the pandemic that began thousands of years before us. You're not able to occupy yourself like you normally are. You're having to face whatever the pain is. You're having to face and deal with whatever the conflict is. Whatever you're struggling with, whatever you've struggled with. And many of us have been struggling with something for a very long time. And so there was this incredible need, a need for a vaccine, a need for a remedy, a need for immunization and inoculation. All of us needed a cure. God the Father was devastated to see the pandemic spread. He was hurt and he was crushed to see how sick that we all have become and how sick mankind had become. And God, in all of his omniscience, and being the great physician that he is, he knew exactly what all of us needed. He needed to reinfect the world with something greater, with something more powerful than anything ever experienced. And this had to spread and be even more contagious and more powerful. And it had to overcome the original disease that entered the world. But first, he needed someone. He needed, you could say patient zero. Have you heard of that? Patient zero? It's like the very first one who brings the disease in, and God needed to, as he was looking to reinfect the world, he needed a patient zero. But this patient zero was different. This person had to be someone who was completely clear. I mean, there could not be any trace of any form of sickness or disease. This person had to have no exposure or been infected with anything of this world in any kind of way. And this person had to be completely clean and clear without blemish. Are you with me here this morning? Just say, right on, Ryan. Right on, Ryan. You know where I'm going with this, right? You know who this, some of us may not know, but some of you do know who this patient zero is. This patient zero we see in the scriptures. You see it right visibly in the script. You see this one all over, and I'll lead with it. All over you see this in John chapter 3, verse 16. Check this out. For God loved the world. Can I just say that? God, forgive us, church. Forgive you. Many of you need to forgive the church. And as a pastor of a church, I want you to know that we are incredibly sorry for not communicating the good news as it should be communicated. The truth is that God loves the world. That's the truth. God does not hate the world. God does not want to punish the world. God does not want to make this world sick. God does not want to kill you. God loves you. And this is what it says. For God loved the world so that he gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. There you have it. Patient zero. God's only begotten son. God sent his son, verse 17, God sent his son into the world to reinfect the world. Here's the truth. He did not send his son to judge the world. God, forgive us. Forgive the church for communicating a message of judgment and a message of truly of something in opposition of love. God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to what, guys? What's it say here? But to what? Everyone, put it on the comment sheet here. Just to emphasize that word. God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to what? Type it in, S-A-V-E, to save the world through him. Folks, his plan was to give us a remedy. It was to give us a vaccine. It was to cure us. Jesus was the cure. And through the love of God, God the Father, he poured his love into Jesus so that love could be shared to all of us as he brought Jesus into this world. The love of God. Love is the cure. And the cure is love. The love of God brought to us by his only begotten son is the cure for all death and disease and distraction. It's the cure for everything that we have infected ourselves with that is less than what God would have. God, help us. Help those of us that are sick and in need of your healing and your touch and your grace. And we see this love lived out in the life of Christ. What we see is this. What we see is the love of God lived out in the life of Christ. And Jesus and his love is where we find the cure, the hope of being healed. Folks, this is a powerful scripture. Powerful scriptures here about the love of God. That's what the good news is about. It's about the love of God. That's what the New Testament is about. It's about the love of God. That's what Good Friday's about. It's about the love of God. That's what Easter is about, how love overcame death, hell, and the grave. God, help me, Lord, this morning. And we see Jesus, we see it through this love permeated throughout Scripture in 1 John 4:11. It says, "Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other." See, this love is not just the remedy, the cure, but it is a righteous pandemic. It offers worldwide spread when you receive it. You can't help but contain it. In 1 John 4:19, it says, we love each other because he what? He first loved us, or he loved us first. In John 15:13, it says, this is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's what? Friends. Folk, this love, when you receive the love of God, when you receive Jesus into your heart and life, and you receive the love of God, you can't help but want to share it. You can't contain it. You can't quarantine it. You can't mitigate it. The love of God is the cure, and God's ultimate plan was to reinfect the world with his love, and that love is what offers us forgiveness and healing. In all of this, there was a challenge. In all of this, all this love was met with an incredible challenge. in all of this, the religion and religion and religious leaders of systems became involved. And what happened was in this challenge is they did not want to lose control. So they tried to impose and thwart and contain and mitigate. And they did not want, because they did not want the love of God spreading and being the healing for just everyone. They wanted to contain it. They wanted to keep it. And there, they were opposed to everyone receiving this love. And they used what they call the law, judgment. The law. They used the law to contain it. And they did not, because they did not want this love to get out of control. They didn't want just anyone to experience it. They wanted to keep it for themselves. They wanted to own it. They knew there was great power in this love. So what did they try to do? They tried to keep the love of God contained. They tried to quarantine it. They tried to, like I said, mitigate it. They did not want this pandemic to go viral. They tried to flatten and level the curve, if you will. They tried social distancing. They created barriers and separation between people and people groups. They wanted people to stay in their divisiveness. They built walls between people, keeping them from each other. And it's interesting because the love of God could not be contained. And there was this incredible force that took place. It was unbelievable. And that's what happened when they put Jesus on the cross. They tried to mitigate. They tried to take out patient zero. They tried to take Jesus and they tried to kill him. Jesus was love, right? And they tried to take Jesus and they tried to kill him. And they put him on the cross. And there in Matthew chapter 27, there's this one part in that passage of scripture where let's just read it. Matthew 27, 51 through 4. Look at this. 51 through 54. Here's what it says. At that moment, well, and what you see before we read this, what you see is this, is Jesus is on the cross, and there on the cross, it says that he yielded up his spirit, meaning this, he gave up his rights, he gave up his control, he took on the sin and disease and sickness of us all, and there, with all the weight of all that iniquity and transgression, he gave up his life as a demonstration of the love of God that he wanted all of us to receive. And in Matthew 27, 51, here's what it says. At that moment when Jesus was there on the cross, at that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, the temple court, the curtain was a part of the division. It represented division. It represented containment and quarantine of the love of God. And here's what happened. The earth shook, rocks split, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, and the tombs opened, and the bodies of many godly men and women who had accepted Jesus were raised from the dead, and they left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city of Jerusalem and appeared to many people. God reinfected with his love, offering healing. And it was such a sight. I cannot even begin to speak accurately at how much impact and how much of an event this was. In verse 54, it says, the Roman officer, who was completely secular, right? And the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. They said, this man truly was the Son of God. I think about God's love, and I think about his mercy and his grace. I think about, there's this song that I used to love, and it's probably 30 years old, way above many of y'all's timeline, but here's the truth. The song is powerful. It's like, God's love and mercy came a-running, and here's what it says. Once there was this holy place, this place where it can try to contain the love and glory and grace and mercy of God. And it was evidence of God's embrace. And I can almost see mercy's face. It was pressed against the veil. The love of God, his face was pressed against the veil, just longing like a racehorse with the gate about to open, just longing and with just this eagerness to break through and infect the world with his love. His love was pressed against the veil. Looking down with longing eyes, mercy must have realized that once his blood was sacrificed, freedom would prevail. And as the sky grew dark and the earth began to shake, with just no longer in the way, mercy and God's love came running like a prisoner set free, past all of our failures to the point of our need. And when the sin that I carried was all that I could see, and when I could not reach mercy, mercy came running to me. And once there was a broken heart, way too human from the start, and all the years left it torn apart, hopeless and afraid. Walls I never meant to build left the prisoners unfulfilled. Freedom called, but even still, it seemed so far away. And it says, I was bound by chains. I was bound by chains, bound by shackles and chains. And here you have this mercy of God, the mercy of God, mercy pressed against the veil, wanting to infect this world and set all of us free. Wanting all of us to experience love and his compassion and his healing and his grace and his peace and his fulfillment. Folks, this is incredibly powerful stuff. God is so good. He is so good. God loves us so much, sending his son Jesus to die for us so that we could be infected, reinfected. Reinfected. And it wasn't over. After Jesus, they took Jesus off the tree, and after the veil of the temple was rent in twain, and after the earthquakes and all this, people started to freak. The next day on Sabbath, the leading priests and the Pharisees went to see Pilate again. And you see this, it's recorded in Matthew 27. Matthew was a Jew, folks, and Matthew is blowing the cover on his religious people. He's blowing the cover on them. And he's trying to illustrate and demonstrate to all of us what it was that God actually did. And he's exposing the containment. And it says in 62, the next day on the Sabbath, the leading priests and the Pharisees went to see Pilate. And they told him, sir, we remember what the deceiver once said while he was still alive. And after 3 days, I will rise from the dead. So we request that you seal the tomb until the third day. This will prevent the disciples from coming and stealing his body and then telling everyone that he was raised from the dead. If that happens, we'll be worse off than we first started. So Pilate replied, take the guards and secure the best you can. So they sealed the tomb and posted the guards to protect it. Folks, the truth is this, is that nothing could contain the love of God. Nothing. this pandemic was the pandemic of all pandemics. This reinfection, the infection of God's love took on worldwide spread. And here's what it says in Ephesians 3, 18 and 19. And may you have the power to understand. God, may it be so for each one of us today. May we have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Folks, we cannot contain the love of God. Nothing can contain the love of God. And you and I need a dose of the love of God. We talk about worldwide spread and the need for his love to spread around the world. The need for this to happen. Folks, I want to tell you this right now. You may not realize this, but there is 176,000 people every year that are receiving Jesus in foreign lands. The spread of the gospel, 20 plus in Russia, 20 plus in China, 20 plus in South America. The love of God, folks, is on the move. His mercy cannot be contained. The love of God is spreading and moving. And my concern is that while there's not a leveling in foreign land, there is a leveling here in our culture and country today. I think that we have lost sight. We've lost out on the fact that God is still on the move and that God wants you to experience his love like never before. And that when you begin to receive it, something happens and something begins to be shared with someone else. Romans 8, 37 and 39, it says this, "No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Instead, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Folks, that is powerful stuff. It's incredible stuff. And thank God that we're able to press the pause button for 20 plus days in our life. And may God speak to the dark places. And may God begin to speak into your dark place, speak into my dark place, in my family's dark place. And may the love of God take hold. May we receive his love in our hearts and lives. Philippians 1:9, I'm almost done. Philippians 1:9, "God knows how much I love you and long for you, the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. I pray that your love will overflow more and more and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and in understanding." Paul's writing this to a church years after Jesus had died. Folks, they could not squash what took place. And don't you find it interesting that some 2,000 years later, after this event, that we are talking about this love today? It's evidence that this is real. The love of God is real. The love of God is alive. O righteous Father, John 17, it says, O righteous Father, The world doesn't know you, but I do. Jesus is reading this. He's saying this to his disciples. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. Folks, the love of God can heal you. The love of God can help you with whatever it is that you're dealing with. Whatever dark place you have, God's love can come and deliver you. I remember my great-grandfather, Dad Tyne, and right at the end, he had a bed in his bedroom. We lived with him the first 4 or 5 years, the first 5, 6 years of my life. And I remember very close to him. I named my son after him. I remember Dad Tyne is about ready to pass. He's about ready to die. And he wanted to see us. He brought Ronnie and I in there, my brother, and he brought us in one at a time. And they set me right on his bed right before he was about ready to die. And Dad Tyne, with the love that only God could give, began to share with me about this Jesus. And how if I put my faith and trust in him, that he can change me, make me whole. And how that you'll never regret receiving this love. And he told me stories, and he told me what God had done for him and what God saved him from. He told me about this Jesus that died on the cross and was raised from the dead. And he told me where he was headed. That yeah, he may pass from this world, but he would go on to a place of eternity with God Almighty. And in hearing this love and in hearing this story, the love that Dad Tyne demonstrated to me infected me, changed me, made me new. And for 40 plus years, I've been trying and attempting to open myself up as much as I can. And yeah, I fall short all the time. Last night, I even fell short with my family. I fall short all the time. But I know this. I know God saved me. And I know that through my great-grandfather, his testimony and his blessing, there was something that infected me and healed me. And it made me who I am today as I pursue the walk of God. Many of you have people that have made an impact on your life. Many of you have been infected by his love. Many of you have received that love of God. And you know what I'm talking about. And those of you who have received it, but that love has grown cold, and for whatever reason, the curve has flattened, your spiritual journey has flattened, I believe that right now, virtually, right where you sit, God can awaken you to the love that he has for you. So if you've received that love, just pray with me right now. Father God, that love has flattened in my heart and life. And I miss it. I need it. I need a dose. I need you to give me a double dose of your love and your compassion and your grace and your mercy. And I pray, oh God, that I could feel it and sense it and know that you're near. And Father, forgive me. Pray that. Forgive me for the distraction. Forgive me for how I have let other things step in the way of understanding the truth about your death and burial and resurrection, and how I have not honored the love of God like I should have. Forgive me, God. And then I believe there are others of you that may be watching this for the first time, and you may be scratching your head and you're saying, man, what in the heck is Ryan talking about? I believe that there are those that are watching right now, right where you're at. And you know, you've tried everything else. and you've not tried this love that God, only God can give. And my prayer all week has been there would be someone to open up their heart today and receive that love and be reinfected by God's grace. If that's you this morning, don't hesitate. If that's you right where you're at, as you're watching this, if that's you right now, I just ask that you would pray with me. Pray with me right now. Father, I have not trusted you. And the truth is I don't even know you. But I have tried everything, and I still have emptiness inside. And right now, I just ask that you would help me. And if there is forgiveness, grant me forgiveness for what I know I've done wrong. Make right what I have done wrong. Make right the sin and the error of my ways. Make right the dysfunction that I've caused. And I pray that this morning, Easter Sunday, 2020, God, that this would be a new day and that I could walk in the fullness of your grace and love and receive you into my heart and life. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray it would be so. Right now, save them. Hold on to this promise, folks. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Happy Easter, you guys.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.